And we are live. At least two of us are. How's it going, everybody? We are here for a late night campfire, as you do in the woods sometimes when it's night outside. We just got done watching Video Game Awards and coming in hot off of that one. We've got a lot to discuss. The 30th anniversary came out, but Travis is at least awake with me. Cognito is otherwise engaged with the Iron Lords podcast, doing his Video Game Awards things. And with that being said, Travis, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a crazy week so far, so I'm glad to be here with you. This is sort of the last thing I've got this week before I wind down over the weekend with a game review and reflect on a week that will live in gaming infamy, I think. It's been quite crazy between Destiny and 343 and all the stuff that's happening.
Yeah, man, what have you been playing?
Oh, you know what I've been playing, baby.
I gotta T-ball that one up for you.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the Destiny stuff because obviously I played a ton of Destiny. I basically took like a 2-day religious holiday for Bungie games, one being Destiny's 30th, and then immediately following that Halo. So, the last 24 hours, 36 hours really, has been Halo, man. I devoured that campaign and got 100% map clear.
Wow.
before a day had even passed, man. I just blew through that game. Also, and I did not think that this would happen, I found every hidden skull on my first playthrough. Just by persistence. Wow. Yeah, like, because it tells you which levels have skulls. It'll be like, there's one skull on this level. And I was like, I shall search high and low,
sir. At least it tells you how many.
I will not
leave. You know how many, like, going in.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard, because I was watching the, I watched Unlocked, and I know they were talking about, like, if you go forward, you can't go back and play a level and stuff like that. So you got to find it as you go through. So it is good. It tells you how many.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I kind of wanted to ask you, as I haven't touched the campaign, I've seen a lot of good reviews. I've seen a couple that are, I'd say, like, you know, 7.5, 7, 8, somewhere in there. And then a lot of, like, 9 to 10. And what'd you think? Where would you put this on the IGN scale, sir? I'm kind of curious because you use the whole scale. So I'm kind of curious where
I do use.
I'm
the
curious
whole scale.
Where you would put this one in the full 1 to 10 range. So,
I'm kind of lucky that I never have to review games that are as good as Halo Infinite, because I feel like you get a lot of flack if you give a 10, and I've never given a 10. And part of the reason for that is just because they don't let me review the 10s, right? Like, there are 10s out there, but I do not get them assigned to me. But I kind of think if I reviewed Halo Infinite, I might have given it a 10.
Wow.
To me, it definitely meets the IGN requirement of masterpiece. People are out here saying, should Halo Infinite be Game of the Year? And I'm wondering, is Halo Infinite the best game ever? Like, I'm like at that level. To me, this is
that's like that's not even close.
I know the comparisons to Breath of the Wild are like overdone, but it really does remind me of, they basically took a tried and true, like, well-known formula and they applied it to this new kind of way of building the game, this open world format. And playing Halo in an open world setting without, like, weird side quests and stuff like that is like, it was a transcendent experience for me. It's trippy. I've never played a game with as good shooting mechanics as Halo in an open world. It blew me away every step of the way. And, you know, it definitely suffers a little bit under the weight of the story. Like, the story is so bloated and big after being around for 20 years and having all these books and side games and stuff. Like, if you haven't played Halo Wars 2, like, you're going to be so
I've
lost.
Heard that.
In
yeah, I've heard Halo the Bannister Infinite. Link to Halo Wars 2, which was the strategy game.
Yeah, yeah. So. Which I empathize with people who haven't done that. I have no idea what it would be like to be one of those people. But as somebody who has read literally every book and also played all of the games, including, you know, Halo Wars 2, it really hit all the right notes for me. And so, yeah, it's definitely a 9 at least. Like, I would have to kind of debate with myself if it was a 9 or a 10, but I loved it, man. And I'm already super excited to go back and play through it again. Hopefully I can play through it with the Grunt birthday party skull enabled. I don't know yet if that disables achievements when you have that skull on. And I think, usually they try to make that the one skill you can enable that doesn't disable achievements, but we'll see. So yeah, man, I devoured that game. I absolutely loved it. It's all I can think about like the past 36 hours. So.
Very nice. It's been great. Nice.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what you think. Because you've gotten a taste for Bungie shooters.
Yeah, I mean,
Halo feels like one.
I played like 1, 2, and 3, like a little bit here and there, but I'm not like a diehard Halo fan at all. Never played 4 and 5. I don't even know if I like finished like the earlier Halo campaigns. Like Halo something just like never. I played a lot of multiplayer on like 3 and stuff, but I never like was diehard on the campaigns. So I'll kind of be curious how it feels for me kind of coming from the outside going in, just from as opposed to somebody like you who's literally like well versed in literally seems like everything Halo possible.
Yeah It's one of my rabbit holes with like Fast and Furious or Star Wars. It's sort of like there's a few pockets of IPs that I just know everything about, and Halo is one of them. So I'm obsessed with this game. Really am. It's definitely going to be my game of the year.
Like, okay.
Damn. So good. So good.
Yeah. I was like, it's interesting because like I like Skill Up's reviews. I don't know if you've seen his. I like a lot of his reviews. He was kind of down on it, actually. He was probably more in about Tassie's category, where I think Tassie gave it about a 7.5. So it was like I saw his first, and then I saw Ryan's 9. And then I listened to Unlocked. And when they get to the camp, like this is the review for the campaign separately from multiplayer. Yeah. And then we get to the part about story. Ryan's doesn't sound like he's overall the biggest fan of the story. So it's like, if it's the review for the campaign and you give it a 9, but the story is not like the best, like that made me ask, like, that was a weird one for me. And it's like, I'm not saying Ryan's not justified, because if he had a lot of fun and all the other stuff, as you said, it's like a 10 for you. But it's like, it is weird if this is like the campaign story, but the story's not that great. Is it just the fact that the sandbox is that much fun? Is it the open world? Is it just the fact that it's a shooter? And they did enjoy all of those pieces. I was just kind of, it's weird to hear kind of the mixes on it.
Yeah, so I've heard him talk about that too. And I think the way I think of it is, you know, Breath of the Wild was like a 10 out of 10 on everybody's radar. And that game basically doesn't have a story. You definitely can't say the story's good, right?
Yeah.
I think at best it just has a very minimalist story or no story at all. But, you know, it's kind of like that. Like, games cannot have stories and be perfect game. It can be, you know, 10 out of 10 games, can be 9 out of 10 games. I think his estimate was that he wasn't super hyped on the story, but he also thought that didn't really get in the way of the game that much. And I would actually agree with that. I personally like the story. I'm one of the weird guys who actually thinks Halo 5 Guardians gets way more hate than it deserves for its story. And that
you are definitely the minority there.
Yeah, I honestly think someday in the future people will agree with me, because the same thing happened with Halo 2, man. People hated the story in that game, and then they came around to it years later. So we'll see if that ever happens. But
that seems less likely on 5.
If it doesn't. If I agree with you, but the reason I think it's less likely on 5 is because nowadays we have fan reactions and feedback, and I think that that's ruined storytelling. You know, like if they had stuck to their guns and actually told the story of Halo 6 that they probably originally wanted to tell, 5 in retrospect might have been good. They got to do that with Halo 3. They're never going to get to do that with Halo Infinite, right? Because they sort of gauged fan reaction and changed their plan, and we've seen. Sometimes that works. Sometimes responding to fan feedback is a good thing. And sometimes it's a horrible idea, which happened with Star Wars. Like Return of Skywalker or Rise of Skywalker was like directly them responding to fan feedback. And I think like that was the wrong choice. Like they should have just stuck to their guns and told the story they were going to tell, you know? So if it doesn't become beloved in the future, I think it probably is because it didn't really get a full chance, right? It's like, telling the middle act of a story, of a 3-part story, is tough already. Yeah. And when you only get to see up to the second act and you never see the payoff, it's even harder.
Usually sequels don't live up. It's rare that sequels are the good ones. It's like Star Wars and The Dark Knight are like 2. And Mass Effect 2.
Well, you know what? Video games is kind of the opposite, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, video games
the sequel is always the better one. Yeah. What is it? Halo 2 I'd put in that category.
Mass Effect 2.
Half-Life 2. Mass Effect 2. The sequels tend to be better in video games, which I've always found pretty interesting.
Destiny 2?
But yeah. Destiny 2? Question mark?
I mean, I would say now, still, and then watching the trailer, and yeah, it's like, at this point, I'll put it there. But
we'll see. We'll see. You would, huh? You would put Destiny 2 over 1 at this point. I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I kind of view them as the same game.
I mean, it is a continuation, because I mean, you even have like Crota and then Oryx, and now we're having Savathun. It's all tied together in, yeah, Titanfall 2 is like kind of one of the epic examples of that. But yeah, I mean, I would say it is a combination. It is a continuation. Like if they had the option, theoretically, you know, Bungie would have kept it all would have just been Destiny the whole time, but Activision probably would have gotten one at 1, 2, 3. So it was like, if they had their idea, it was to continue the story. They just had to find some reason to blow up the tower, get rid of your vault, and start a new game. And now they're not doing that. So,
yeah, I was always excited for Destiny 2 ever when they announced it and going to the release party and the announcement party and all that. But I still, in the back of my mind, always thought it was a mistake. Now I still feel like that's definitely the case. Like, the 2 is awkward.
I mean, it's
nobody calls it Destiny 2, I feel like. We all call it Destiny.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I've heard them say it, and it's like Dota 2 is never going to like just be Dota. It's just Dota 2. It's just because that was what was made. And like Destiny is going to be the same way. It's just going to be Destiny 2. And that is the franchise that will live on, just because they're stuck with that like Destiny 2 branding everywhere for whatever reason, is just what I've heard. So
should have called it Destiny Infinite, Bungie. You messed up. Could have had an evergreen name like Destiny Infinite.
Well, I played over the weekend before all of our chaos that we'll get to here in a second. I played Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. So I actually knocked that out in a few days. And that game is on another level of graphics. Like,
yeah,
it's cool. Really, really pretty. And honestly, like, I played the Ratchet & Clank, the remake, like the 2016 one. And I haven't played any of the other ones. But then this one I played, and it was a fun game. And then I will say the surprise character is the one you don't know exists, because you know about Rivet from the trailers. But the other bot that you don't know about was the kind of the surprise character to give it like depth and the kind of the way they traded. I enjoyed it. It was fun. The weapons in that are always absolutely crazy. But the visuals, man, are just, I mean, I'm enjoying my new monitor to say the least. But yeah, watching that thing in like 4K and it's like, oh, fidelity mode. I'm just like, this is just eye candy. So that was a fun little thing.
That game's PS5 only too,
yes,
right?
Yeah, PS5 only. That's just like one of the few first gens. And speaking of a lot of the stuff that is going to be next gen, we just got done watching the Game Awards, and surprisingly, I think I'll start at the end and go first. Did you expect Game of the Year to go to It Takes Two?
I hoped it
would. I did too. I was like, I'm with you. Like, yeah. I did not expect it at all, because that, like, movie, yeah, you know, me, what is it, Oscars, like, you know, film of the year or whatever, like, top one is, it never goes to the one you think or you'd like it to go to.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of used to Game of the Year not really, at least the video game awards, not really reflecting, like, my opinions at all, because, like, I think Half-Life Alyx wasn't even nominated last year, and that was my game of the year, and I frankly think it should have won by like a mile, but it didn't even get nominated, because I think the people that were the judges hadn't played it, which that's kind of the hard thing with
VR
video games, is you can't play them all. You can't play all the video games, but you can watch all the movies, right? So it's a lot easier to deal with that. I very rarely end up with the game that I think should win winning. And this year, since Halo Infinite was out of the running, I was like, yeah, It Takes Two is probably second on the list. And then Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe number 3. And that also won some awards. So
I think that got,
I thought it was a pretty good
night. Yeah, I was like, overall, there were like, the wins seemed to be a bit more spread out than I feel like, you know, God of War taking them all. And God of War is my game of the generation, so I don't argue like with all those types of things. But I think it was really nice to see. It was like indie game, Kena, Bridge of Spirits got that one. I was like, fantastic. I was like, I really enjoyed that one. And I was just still surprised that came out of a small studio. Action game, Returnal. Yeah. And I was like saying, come on, Returnal. And I actually cheered for that one, because I know Returnal turned a lot of people off by difficulty. But for me, it was like, the deeper you got into Returnal, the more that game just kind of kept blowing me away. And then the bosses you fought and the environments, and by the time you got to the end and got to see everything that happened, and always the idea of like the spaceman and stuff, it was I'm really happy Returnal, because when it was like based around combat, I'm like, Returnal is nothing but insane combat. So I was actually happy to see that one. Can't remember what else.
God of War was your game of the generation, huh? Sorry, I'm stuck on that stuff.
I really enjoyed God of War. Thoroughly, like.
Trying to think of what mine might be. What about Destiny? Doesn't even make the cut, huh?
Oh, I mean, it would be on a list for sure, but I was like, the things that God of War did for me were like the story it told, the way it was like the voice acting, like the animations, the combat, the environments, the scale of the big, like between the worm god and everything else. It was so many things. And then when you add the Valkyrie fights on and stuff like that, it was just, there was a lot to that game that I'd never really played a God of War game either. So I got my history on what had happened. I watched like a couple recap videos. And then I jump into this. It's gorgeous. Combat starts to get fun. You have progression and like the abilities you unlock, and you actually get like different levels of armor, and you start doing more damage and get your butt kicked, kind of like a Souls. And then the story starts doing this. And by the time you get to the end, for me in that one, just with the story of what it did, I don't know. It was a combination of a lot of different genres for me that hit, pretty much just nailed everything I was hoping for in a lot of different ways. So yeah, for me, like PS4 generation. Yeah, of course, Destiny has like a special spot for everything I've been through, but like just an experience of whatever 30 hours or however long it took me to play. That was mine.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it may be cliche, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. So,
yeah, for me, the game of the year is about what game pushes the industry forward the most and like does something we've never seen before. And so, like Half-Life Alyx last year did that. I think this year It Takes Two sort of made us realize that couch co-op games that were meant to be played together on the couch can exist in a different way or are still relevant. That's why I think that was deserving a game of the year, because it did something really new.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played that one yet, but I know you've said it's like, you were just like, this is my game, like last year. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes. Or sorry, Half-Life Alyx. Yeah, I was talking about. It takes two.
I think they so really happy. Deserved
it, because it kind of reminds you, like, either you don't see a lot of couch co-op games, and there's kind of this theory that like collectathon platformers, they're irrelevant now. You know, they're just not part of like the gaming space anymore. And I love that this game just sort of like slapped you in the face and was like, no, there's still a place for these types of games, and they can be incredible. And I think that if you're going by the metric for game of the year is what shakes up the industry the most and moves us forward, I think It Takes Two like did that. Like that, it just nailed that couch co-op playing with a loved one formula. Because you played with your wife, I played with my girlfriend, and we probably had very similar experiences in terms of
carrying
like,
the other side a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was very good. I guess that's probably why my game of the years don't get picked very often, because like God of War to me doesn't push the industry forward at all, right? Like it's sort of like
God of War was like the culmination of the PS4, but as you said, like Half-Life Alyx, It Takes Two is something that like was,
it's not like a landmark of like innovation is what I would say, you know. Yeah, it's just sort of like it does a lot of things well, but I sort of tend to not like games that try to like parrot than like movies. I feel like a lot of the Sony single player games do that a lot. It's like Last of Us. It's like, okay, I've seen a movie. Like I don't need to play bad stealth mechanics. But God of War did have much better fighting. The combat in that game was great.
Yeah.
So yeah, Elden Ring. Man.
Oh my
god.
I'm
sure you want to talk about
that. Oh my god.
I'm sure you
do. Trailer. That story. Like I know it's going to be like a Souls game, so the story is going to be obtuse and reading like
nonsensical.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to go read watch like 7 YouTube videos, try and figure out an ounce of what's going on. But that world that like George R. R. Martin created, then they like rendered, and like the lady at the end who's now got like half an eye and she's half there, and they've got like the Elden Ring and all these like big demigods are battling it out. I'm like, yes. I was like, I am so annoyed. I'm like, please. And unfortunately those two are like cemented. Like, those two are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
They're 3 days apart, and there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, they're not
going to
move.
I want Horizon Zero Dawn to be like, hey, we need, like, give us another month or something. Because, like, February is probably not a fiscal quarter for them. I'm like, go to the, I don't care where you go, but, like, go to the end of March. Just, if all three are there, I'm going to miss the discussion about two of the three games that I'm really looking forward to next year. And then when by the time I get to him, it's like, yeah, I'll be behind the curve. And if I stream, it's like, it's not like the time. So then it's like, I want to play those when they're active. But of course, I've got to play Witch Queen. And there's going to be so much new stuff between going for the raid and the glaive and so many other things that we've seen, like the trailer tonight we'll get to in a minute. But
yeah,
no, Elden Ring looks, between seeing the network test and they're saying this is a tiny corner of the map and like the play, and I'm very excited for that and very sad that I don't know when I'm going to get to experience it. It really hurts me.
Yeah, because you have to make content for Destiny.
Yeah, like, that's not even it's option. Like if I made an Elden Ring video, it'd be like, here's 5 views. That would not do well in my algorithm. So no, it's Destiny content first.
It's too bad.
And then at some point in between other things, but there's so much. And then Horizon Zero Dawn, next year,
I feel really bad for
that one's right there before it.
Yeah, that one's there. And then like there's so many other games that are like C-listers on my list of games I want to play, but I still really want to play them. Like Tiny Tina's Wonderland comes out, I think, a month after Destiny. And am I going to have time for that game? Probably not, but I still really want to play it. Like every time I see more of it, I'm like, this game looks fun. I want to get to it, but you never know which games you're actually going to have time for. Like timing is everything, man. Cause there's a lot of games I'm like 100% it's going to be a priority. And then I don't finish it.
Yeah. I was like, I'm looking through games like, I know Elden Ring, but maybe anything that like stands out from what you saw, there were a couple that I saw that I was kind of pleasantly surprised with what I saw.
Oh, for the trailers?
Yeah, trailers and announcements and stuff like that. Any big ones for you?
Yeah, my top ones were Star Wars, obviously.
I was like, oh, is this...
But then I saw who the developer was and my excitement immediately plummeted. I was
Monolith?
Like, no!
What?
No, Quantic Dream. The guys that made like Heavy Rain and the Detroit Become Human or whatever that one's called.
Oh, yeah.
You know those guys? They make like the story-based ones, but they haven't really had a good game in a really long time, in my opinion. Like the Beyond Two Souls was like kind of a flop and Detroit had a lot of problems. And then the developer tried to sue journalists for reporting about their work conditions. So
that's fun.
Like there's that. And then I also just don't like Heavy Rain. People talk about that game like it was amazing. And I played it when it came out and I was like, wow, this story is dumb. Like I just did not like it when it came out. So I was very excited. It looks amazing. And then I saw the developer and I was like, oh no, it's going to be one of those games, isn't it? So I immediately got less excited. Unfortunately. But fun fact, that game takes place during the High Republic era, which has almost no content to it. It's a brand new era of Star Wars that just started coming out last year. Or actually, I think it was earlier this year. I think you and I have talked about it on the show, I think, where I've been reading the books and the comics about it and stuff, but this is sort of the first big piece of media that takes place in the High Republic era. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then we saw Wonder Woman from Monolith. That's, I don't know what to think of that one. Like Monolith,
what was it?
Wonder Woman. One more
time. Oh yeah. Yeah. That does look
cool.
And
then, I guess it's Monolith. And I was asking chat and they were saying Monolith made Shadows of Mordor, more or both of those or something like that. So I was like, if they did third person action there, it's like, that could be, I was like, the first movie was good. Very good. Actually, I enjoyed the first movie. Second movie, less so.
Yeah,
but like I
definitely.
But I was
that script was a mess.
I was like, I was a big step down. Maybe if there's gonna be a third one, hopefully they can pick it again. Not the best sequel, but I don't know. I was like, I was trying to think about a Wonder Woman game. It's just like an action setting. I was like, I could kind of see it, but it's almost gonna feel like a fast paced, like, I don't know, action game. I guess with like her dashing and speed and power and stuff. I guess we'll see.
It kind of could be perfect for a video game, actually, because her moveset really works with it, like the whip, being able to like kind of swing around and that sort of stuff.
That could help with mobility too.
I think that could be really good. I am sort of afraid of all of these licensed games coming out, because it's been growing, the amount of games that are licensed, and I kind of don't want like all that the video game industry does is like mimic movies. Like I was just saying that to you, like Like, they now we've got the Indiana Jones game. We've got a ton of Star Wars games. Which I'll never complain about those. A Gollum game, which we do not need at all.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, it just seems like it's going to be a weird little third-person action game. I was like, I don't know what story it's going to tell. They've already taken a book, like, you know, this big and made it this big with The Hobbit and stuff. Like, it's been done really well. I don't know what. And then we have a Lord of the Rings show coming. I'm like, I don't even know what you're going to do with that. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a universe people like, but I don't know if we need it, as you said, so that's totally fair.
Yeah, the amount of licensed games is scaring me.
Sonic Frontiers, that one's weird. Sonic Open World.
It looked like they were trying to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it was like somebody said, it was like Sonic Zelda. Yeah, Sonic Breath of the Wild.
That's the move, dude. It's the move these days, is to rebrand yourself as like an open world game and change the way people think about your game.
How did Hellblade 2 look to you?
Oh my god! I could not believe that was gameplay.
Yeah.
I literally was like, I don't believe it. I don't believe. Like, you can see the camera moving left and right, but come on,
a couple
of
parts I saw is when she threw the spear and it kind of hit, bounced. There was like a weird kind of physics with like the spear and the, I guess the giant or whatever. But I was like, I mean, I played the first one, you know, headphones on, had stream and stuff, and it's just, it was a very cool experience. I was like, and I'm honestly, because it was so mental and like the journey through she went through, and finally when you get to the end of what happens, and I was like, I'm wondering what they're going to do with the sequel for a story, because the first one was very unique, encapsulated in itself. But I was like, I don't know where they take the second one. I will be very curious. It's been a long time in the making. It will be beautiful, I'm sure. So that's no question. What else did I see? Forspoken, I'm curious about. The writers on that are what has me intrigued, because it's what Gary Whitta, Amy Henning, I think, are both writers on Forspoken. So if nothing else, like, I'm very curious about the story involved with that one.
That one looked cool. We also got the new Halo show. They showed a trailer for that, and that looked pretty surprisingly good. I've always thought that live action Halo might be bad, but it kind of looked good.
I was like, it feels like Microsoft's going to dump enough money in to see if it can work. I was like, I don't know if they can do it justice, but they're going to try and see if it can work. I mean, we're at a point where you have the technology and CGI where it's possible, I think.
Do you remember when they announced the Halo TV show?
Been a while.
It was in the Xbox press conference from 2013. The Xbox One one, the sports, movies.
So it's probably been
TV.
So it's probably been worked over a couple times.
Yeah, it's been like 11 years, dude. It's been so long. I guess it's like 9 years or 8 years, but still. It was like an entire generation, console generation, since they announced this thing. And we finally got a trailer for it. But I can't even imagine a world where a Halo TV show exists. It sounds crazy. It's another thing for you to not understand the story in the games for.
Right? Yeah, I'm like,
it's like another
reason.
How lost
can I possibly be, right?
It's another reason to be completely lost when playing a Halo game.
And then there was... trying to think of a couple others. There was
Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. Tweet about that. Dude. I just got done playing the first one like maybe a month ago, a few weeks. Like I played the first one very recently with the remaster.
I remember you telling me that you did not enjoy it, and I knew you wouldn't because that game has not aged well at all.
I'm like, you better do a whole lot of like modern version of whatever you do with that one.
Well, here's the thing. I think that studio, Remedy, they have gotten better with gameplay every game, right?
Yeah, like Control was the recent
Wake,
one.
Alan Wake was sort of at the bottom, and then they did Quantum Break, and it got a lot better. It was much better than Alan Wake, and then it went to Control, which I would argue Control is much better than Quantum Break. So I think if they can give Alan Wake 2 the gameplay and the budget that it deserves, which it looks like they're doing, that could be a great game, but... here's the thing, I remember when that game came out, I played it on the 360, and I remember thinking that the gameplay was just okay.
Yeah.
Now you play it and it's like cringe.
Garbage.
It's so not good. You play Alan Wake for the story, right? If you replay it at all. But yeah, the gameplay is not good. So if they can fix that and keep the level of narrative and quality to that high, I think that would be a great game. But I was very excited for that one.
Another one that kind of piqued me, it was a little more of an indie one, but it was just kind of a side scroll. It was like Have a Nice Death, where you basically like Death. I like the style of that trailer, because it's like Death is sitting at his desk. He's all like kind of like pissed off with all the work. Yeah. And then he jumps in. He's going to do it himself. Baby death. Yeah, it's like little baby death, takes the cloak and then goes out there and starts beating the crap out of everybody. It's just one of those, like, if it's like a side scroller, you know, kind of, you know, cool action game, looks like it could be a little bit of fun.
Yeah, that game looked great. What was the one with like the retro style? It was like a shooter where they were shooting robots and it had like kind of a quirky tone to it and music. It was like near the end.
Arc Raiders?
Like astronauts. Yes, yeah, that one. That's like, that actually,
it was like a PvE multiplayer game is kind of how they describe it. So it's PvE, not PvP, but it was like, it seemed like co-op multiplayer was next gen only. So, I mean, that seems for sure if you're going to use it. Yeah. But the scale of that actually looked very cool. If you're like trying to take down a mech the size of a, you know, movie theater or something, like walking around, like it's, the scale on some of these is getting to be really cool because we're getting to a point where the consoles and the technology is powerful enough to actually push some of that crazy stuff. What else? Monster Hunter Rise is getting something. And there were like two, basically, like there was like Chia, which is like Tachia or whatever. It's like somebody thought it was Moana, but it was like the PlayStation one. That's like a Moana Zelda.
That game actually looked pretty fun.
It looked like Breath of the Wild, but Moana. So it's like, that's kind of how that one looked. And then the first one is like Tunic, which is that like death door, but with like a fox and a little bit
so
cuter.
Many years. How many years has that game been teased to Tunic? Us? We've seen so many trailers for it. Yeah, dude. Tunic has been getting, I think it got announced like a really long time ago. And I will say this though, we finally got a release date. I think that was,
yeah, it was March 16th.
I've been waiting on Tunic for like at least 3 or 4 years. It's been a long time. So,
and then for me also, since I really, really, really enjoyed Limbo and Inside, Somerville, that's their next one, I think.
Oh yeah. That game looked great.
Yeah, it's like they're both of the previous two. I mean, Inside will just like, that's a hell of about a 4-hour journey, but that was a crazy one.
So good.
Cuphead DLC. Yeah, I've never played Cuphead. Once.
Oh, you never played Cuphead?
No, it's like it's on a,
we should do it. We should.
It's on a list.
We should do it together.
Oh, like
we should do a stream.
Co-op.
Yeah, yeah. Cuphead and Mugman. I'm a tryhard at Cuphead. I think I got all the achievements.
I don't have a doubt.
I destroyed that game. Yeah, so that one's really fun. We should play that one.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I think everything. Yeah, I was like, I just like games that I need to play, and this thing kind of reminded me of it. I really want to play Metroid Dread. Like,
yes,
that just,
you should.
It's like,
good.
I have like Super Metroid's one of my favorites growing up, so it's like it feels
really
absolutely. Yeah, I was like going through finding every missile. Actually, and yeah, I was like, no, I played Super Metroid hardcore when I was young.
That's funny. Super Metroid was also one of my favorite games. I didn't play the first Metroid game until I was like a much older man. But Super Metroid was like amazing,
yeah,
dude.
I never played the first Metroid either, but yeah, Super Metroid is the one that like, that's the one I know.
Oh, I went back and played Metroid when it was on the Wii or something like that, like when it was more portable. But yeah, the moment in Super Metroid that always blew my mind is when you get the super run. And you're running super fast.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you can just blow through doors and run over gaps and stuff like that. And that just like blew my mind. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, it changes the way you think about levels. It's just so awesome.
We did not actually, some people are kind of wondering, the Chrono Cross leaked remake thing that's kind of floating around out there, I've heard. Chrono Cross. Not Chrono Trigger, the sequel to it that was on like PS1 or something like that. I never played it. I played Trigger. And that's like literally one of my favorite games of all time. But Chrono Cross.
Wait, this wasn't a trailer.
No, this did not. It was leaked like that it may exist, but nothing happened.
Oh, I see.
So that was one I was actually curious if it was going to show up, but it didn't. And the Guardians of the Galaxy, I still got to play for sure.
Yeah, you should play that one. That's good. I'm very close to beating every game that was on that list. Psychonauts 2 is my last one.
That's the other one. Yeah, Psychonauts is on my list too. Yeah. I know Cog really liked
it. It's on Game Pass. Easy to play. Yeah, Cog liked it. Ains actually says it's his game of the year, and I think he's including Halo Infinite in that.
Wow.
Which really surprises me, because that guy loves Halo. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. That's your game of the year, huh? So, but yeah, I didn't think the nominees were great, but I'm happy with the ones that won.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Especially for like It Takes Two, when they said that, I was like, that honestly kind of blew me away, because I did not expect it, you know. Deathloop got some tens in places, and I know everybody's all over the place on that game for reviews and thoughts, and I had a blast playing it, but I didn't think it should have been game of the year. Like, for me, I don't even know what my game of the year is, honestly. I've been trying to think about that as I have my list of stuff I've played through, but I don't actually know what my game of the year would be.
Sounds like It Takes Two is probably the one for you.
I mean, It Takes Two is, like, really cool. I'm trying to think. Grime?
Returnal?
Returnal's also up there. Returnal's also up there for me because... And then Grime for, like... Grime wasn't even nominated for an indie, but, man, I played Grime, and then it ruined Death's Door. Because Grime was, like, an action... It was a 2D, but it was, like, you're this weird little rock thing, and by the time you get done, you're like, what the hell just happened to me on this journey? Combat's amazing. Boss fights absolutely whooped my butt. So I do that, and then I get to Death's Door, and, like, everything seems to be a pushover, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of cute, and I'm this little bird and dealing with death, and I know there's, like... It just didn't... The gravity after Grime, like, Death's Door was like, eh. It's like, it was cool. It was a tight little game, but it was like after Grime, knowing who made that and how it was. And I was like, it just didn't hold up after playing it. I played like stuff I played this year. I beat Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Hades. I played this year for the first time. And I'm like, that game's also fan freaking tastic. So it's like, it's hard not to.
Yeah.
But yeah, for more this year, it would be between It Takes Two, Returnal, and Grime would probably be my top three. And then if I was going to do top five, Deathloop might be on there for me, and then maybe Kena. Probably, I think.
Really? You like that one? I was surprised that one indie game. I feel like, what were the other nominees? I felt like there were better ones, I thought. I didn't actually play Kena Bridge of Spirits, but I...
trying to remember the other
indies. My girlfriend played it, and I helped her get through the boss fights, so I feel like I played
it. Yeah, the boss fights were tough, but I mean, it was just... Especially the first act was, like, really cool story.
I think so.
Huh?
It kind of reminded me of the way you think about Death's Door, because, you know, we've played Souls games, so kind of games are like, the boss fights are like not hard in that game if you've played Souls fights, you know. So it was fun though.
Yep,
it was a nice game. It looked beautiful too. I'm surprised that counts as an indie game, to be honest.
I mean,
it
seems, like,
kind of like cheating.
Like, it's their first. They had some Sony backing, I'm sure, at a point, but they do animation, like, that's their thing, and that's what I was like. That was one of the things about that game. Like, when you watched her just do, like, a flip and land, it looked like a Pixar movie. Like, did a true, like, flip, land, physics, hair bob. Like, it looked so tight on just every movement in that game. That was just kind of one of those for me that it was just like...
Yeah.
And that's...
But I guess... Sorry. I thought the definition of being an indie game was you didn't have a publisher.
Oh, I don't know
if that's... They do have a publisher. So Sony's their publisher.
I mean...
I thought
that I don't know. Like, it got backing from Sony, but they are a really tiny team for what I know. Yeah. So
I wonder what the requirements are. I should look into that for that category. I wonder if it's like a certain amount of employees or interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, we've also been playing a little bit of something else.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a great segue here, which is we saw a trailer tonight at the Video Game Awards.
Indeed, and I haven't seen a trailer like that for Destiny in a very long time. Like,
you gotta say indeed.
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 But we got a live-action person trailer, and even if it was just a girl talking to what sounded like Ikora, that was cool. And apparently, most of what we saw basically takes place in first mission, which I haven't gone back to rewatch it yet, but it does seem that, like, I honestly wonder how the Hive Guardians are going to be, like, if you're going to have to do the finishing squish on their ghost.
You're lagging, E.
I know the stream is, like, struggling bad. No, you can keep talking. Like, all unfortunately, right. We're just going to have to power through because I can't help it tonight.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you have to melee kill the ghost every time, because that seems like a huge pain in the ass.
I don't know if you'd have
that's
to melee.
That's the only animation they...
Or you could do a finisher.
That's the only animation they've shown.
You could do a finisher.
You do.
It seems like...
But so you have to be within finisher range.
Maybe. Then. You might have to do that. Maybe there's a certain timer on it. Like, you may be able...
You just can't snipe them ever. You can, like, it's not a tactic you can use.
Well, it
to kill
feels
them.
Like, I mean, from playing, like, you had Destiny 1 Strikes where you had cover, then you have Destiny 1 Strikes where you didn't have cover, and they're all circular rooms. Now you have kind of a mix, but they seem to want you to be engaged more actively without hiding. And it feels like this is going to be a mechanic where you have to be up in the fight Because if you have to crush the Hive Ghost in person, you're going to have some way to, or, and if you don't do it fast enough, it comes back. So I will be, so it seems like they want you to be like up in it more. And the glaive is going to be a thing where you've got the block, and maybe that gets you closer to the enemies than you normally would be. So I'm,
it just seems counter to their own, like, their own policy, which is that they want more weapons to be used in the sandbox. And now they're like limiting it to a certain play style where you've got to be like right up in space. If you melee,
I was like, it's floating there and you can get a crit on it or something with like a special weapon. Or I was like, it's an intriguing concept. Cause that's the thing. Like they fight the knight over and over and then they finally crush it, I think, on the third one. But I mean, the thing pops like a super and it looked like it had like a Sighton Rampart's like wall. It looks like it's like shooting through the barricade. I'm like, did he get an exotic too? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, dude. He had a shoot through wall, and he had the Defender Titan super.
And he had like two shields, which is cheating, by the way. I want two. I want a double shield to walk around like this and just bash everything.
His super is even better than ours. We've been Guardians for so many years, and he just jumped straight to having. How many seeds of light did you eat, dude? Like, what? That was pretty interesting. What do you think the cooldown is
for
a Hive Knight Guardian like resing itself? Yep. How long do you think he's dead? Do you think it's like 5 seconds? Like it's gonna be that irritating?
I don't know. Like it depends on how.
Because if they make it 30 seconds, that's way too long, right?
I could see like.
But 5 seconds is too short.
Like 10 to 15 is that range where you could probably get across like a room, an encounter, an arena, like long enough where you. Kind of have to be a little pressed, but not too fast. But yeah, 30 seconds, you'd be like, all right, let me kill everything in the room, then go squish. But like 5 seconds, you'd be like, I killed him. Okay, it just keeps coming back. Crap, what do I do? Like, I feel like that's where it would get to with that. So like 10 to 15.
What if it's not a timer? What if it just comes back a certain amount of times and then it just gets destroyed no matter what?
That could be, or maybe like us, we have a longer cooldown the more times you kill it. So that's part of the mechanic is like multiple kills. Like multiple kills extends the timer and gives you a better chance to get in there. So you could sit back and snipe him a few times, but then later on, like the fifth snipe, he's down for like a minute or something. Who knows?
What I could see happening is maybe they get rezzed 3 times, and every time they get rezzed, they have a different one of their supers equipped, you know, like they're changing subclasses.
I really hope they don't know Vibama, otherwise we're in trouble. The Void Knight gets all 3 supers and he's like Nova Bomb. He just tethers us. We're like, crap.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know what to expect, man. That mechanic confuses the hell out of me. The whole the fact that they're Guardians and how are we gonna kill them thing. I don't have it in my brain yet how that's gonna work and be fun. Because I could see it just being annoying. It'll be like kill confirmed.
Yeah.
You know, like they drop the little mode called?
Supremacy? Is that right?
Supremacy, they'll be like they drop the little supremacy engram and you have to like grab it before they come
before
back.
It comes
like,
back.
People didn't supremacy isn't in the game anymore for a reason, Bungie. I hope you're not suggesting that we play kill confirmed forever.
Kill confirmed with Hive. But they have like kind of mechanics where whether it's a ball you pick up, whether it's the mine, they kind of have like the little thing that like tracks around the outside of like an icon. Yeah. So it's like a timer, you can see how long it takes. That would be maybe a visual way to represent it. But yeah, I'm really not sure, depending on how the timers work, how many times, if it's a timer thing, if it's a certain number of kills that you got to do. The ghost is only so strong. Like, it can't revive forever like us because it doesn't have the power of the Traveler, but it has, like, weaker light. I'm very curious what they do with that because, as you said, it could be really frustrating, but if handled well, it could be cool.
Yeah, I will say... The one thing that bugged me in that trailer is I kind of thought I immediately was like, okay, this is going to be the first mission we play, right?
Yep.
Cause like the way that they're describing it is like, oh, we just went into her ship and then we got tricked.
Yeah. It sounds like we're going through Mars to her throne world or something.
Yeah. I kind of felt underwhelmed by the reveal. Like basically all we're going to do is, you know, we're going to boot up the game on Witch Queen Day and it's going to be like, oh, Savathun, we need to go to her ship and find out what she's up to. And then we're just going to find a Hive Guardian and that's it.
I think they're keeping it. They're keeping it mostly vague. Like I don't have it watch. I can't go like watch it right now per se, but I was like, I think they're trying to keep some of that story beats under wraps because I mean, they are getting to a point where their storytelling is getting better and better. Like, each of these seasons have been a decent level of progression in telling the story from, like, Chosen and then Splicer and then now in this one. And how, you know, the cadence at which they tell the story, I still have my issues with that. But, like, if they're at this level of telling now and they can put that into something like Witch Queen, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until they prove me otherwise. Now, Beyond Light was not the greatest, obviously, but...
Exactly, and I feel like the only time they do good storytelling is when our expectations are really low in the off seasons, and then they surprise us with like these really cool like little mini stories. Yeah. But whenever they're supposed to deliver something big, like, you know, pretty much all of the expansions since Destiny 2 Vanilla, which I thought was Forsaken was good too.
Yeah, Red War, Forsaken, but yeah, it was like Shadowkeep, Beyond Light were lower.
Yeah, they sort of don't really hit the bar to make people really care. And I'm worried that they've got all this build up with Savathun, and they've built her up so much that she's going to end up being underwhelming as a villain, because luring somebody onto your ship and then surprising them with a guardian is like not that clever. You know what I mean?
Like,
I was expecting her to like do something crazy where it's like, oh wow, she really had us played all along. But like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being pessimistic.
I mean, I guess I'll be curious how we go from the epilogue, whenever in February after everything else goes through, and probably whenever the Dawning is done, how they make that transition of with the chrysalis and coming out of it, and obviously literally turn into a big ass butterfly.
And it looked like she was already that in the first mission.
Yeah, looks like you're going to be, you know, kind of touch and go with her basically in that point. But if she's not the raid boss encounter, they've built her up so much. If we do kill her in the campaign, I'm going to be just like, I'm going to be pissed. But I was like, because they've done it too well, I think at this point for us to kind of have an ally, Zeevo Wrath is still out there. I don't know. I was like, seeing her in the campaign, she did look big scale-wise, like she's not small, but it better not be like a strike boss. I swear if we kill another Hive God or Zal in a strike at the end, I'm not going to be thrilled. But part of me also goes back to...
I'll be pissed. I will be pissed if they kill her.
But if they go back to when you read about the campaign, it's the biggest campaign they said they've ever done. Like, they're trying to get into the ideas, like the themes they've seen in the dungeons and that type of stuff. The replayability of the campaign, they're trying to make it the biggest and grandest campaign that they probably can, and they have a decent sized team to do it now. I don't think it's going to be Forsaken level, but I do think it's probably hopefully going to have some good storytelling, even if it's a little shorter. I think they'll probably have some cool twists, hopefully. That's me.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I saw the trailer start, and I did not expect a live action trailer, so that was actually pretty cool to see them go back to that.
Me neither. I heard Akora's voice after the ladies talking. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, this is Destiny. Yeah. And I was pretty surprised.
I was literally watching. I was like, what's this? Oh, it's Destiny. I was like, crap.
That was a pretty nice bow on a very exciting week for Bungie with the 30th anniversary of Bungie and the new content we got in Destiny. I was very excited. It's also just been a great week for Bungie in general, because I still consider, you know, Halo part of Bungie. You know, they made the game, so... I sort of lump them in together. I'm like, you know, you guys are different companies now, but come on, it's still part of your guys' legacy, your guys' identity. So, it's been a great week for Bungie in general. So you've been playing the 30th anniversary, man?
Indeed. Yeah. So the 30th anniversary, indeed. Yeah. There would be the ultimate guest appearance. Lance Riddick. Hey, do you want to come do the last word with us?
I know him. Oh, I don't know.
There you go.
Next time he's promoting a show. That's the only way we were able to get him on Fireteam Chat. He was promoting a TV show.
Oh, well, we're too small. At least you guys are big enough to justify it. We don't quite have the views for that one. Shout out to all of you guys, though, who listen. On average, a good amount of you guys find us on audio as well. So if you like us on iTunes or Spotify, leave a review, like it. If you can do anything to help boost up the show, those 5-star reviews and stuff do help us out. So if you enjoy it, drop one on there. Just random little plug there for us. But yeah, 30th anniversary content basically jumped in, and I thought my game glitched for a second because it literally throws you straight into Dares of Eternity. Like, you have no option, but you're going in. So I kind of wanted to see your thoughts on what do you think of Dares of Eternity, Xur and the horse, and Xur making horse noises and everything going on in there with the Wheel of Unfortunate.
I love it. So I actually had a really weird experience my first time through, because I joined, it put me in a game in progress. And I got the lightning round, my first one. And I just thought that was part of the game mode. So I
haven't even seen one of those really, yet.
Oh, you haven't? I got it my first one. And we got all three chests, by the way. We fully beat all three of the chests.
Nice. So, congrats.
Yeah, that was really weird. I just like I got thrown in, lightning round, do it, and I was just like, okay. And I did it. And then I was like, okay, that was fun. I love that it's tongue-in-cheek and silly and over the top. I wonder how it's going to do for longevity, because I did it, I think, two or three times, and I was already like, okay, I've seen enough of this. Yeah. Let's go do the dungeon. You know, like, it's sort of, I don't like any of the six player matchmaking activities. I just, even Menagerie, I was like, eh, you know, like, I'm not going to spend a ton of my time doing this. So,
I was like, I do like at least, and it's one of my complaints about Sundial. The boss room was always the same, and it was kind of an annoying thing to me, because it was always like you have three different time zones, and yet you would always go to the same boss section every time until we finally got to like where they came together week 9 or whenever that was. This one, at least of the two that I've seen mostly Hive, where you're fighting the knights, where you're fighting Crota's copies. And then I saw a Cabal one who's like up somewhere completely different. So at least those two alone are different. I don't know how many others there are, because I haven't done the Vex one. I haven't done Fallen one. I did a Fallen encounter with like Hive, but I haven't fought like the Fallen boss or anything.
Right.
So it,
I think I've also only done two or three. Oh no, I did Taken. I did Hive. I think maybe I did Vex too, but yeah. I did a couple of them, but to me it's like, okay, I really like the gimmick parts. I like the guessing which door, and I like the wheel spins, and the lines are really funny. But you know, lines are only funny
a few times. Yeah,
times you hear them, and I was already like, okay, I've heard that line before. Like the third, you know, time I did the matchmade activity, so I feel like it'll burn out really quick, like they always do, right? Like these six player, they kind of, we're gonna have to play it no matter what. Like I have to play that mode because there's exotic emotes I want
to
get.
There's a catalyst tied to it. The exotic
catalyst type.
The exotic catalyst for Forerunner, the pistol.
Ooh,
and that will
also, I have to get Forerunner, which requires you to play Dares of Eternity.
Right? That one you don't have to do too many times for the gun itself. Nice. I've probably done like 5 or 6, and I got to level 4. But you have to get reputation level 16, basically max him out. And somebody said it takes like the bounties don't help the progress. Doesn't matter if you legendary or master. Somebody said it's just like amount of times you have to do it, and somebody's like it's 68 runs.
Oh,
I could be wrong. I saw somebody say 68. It could be like 40, but like to get the catalyst you have to bump up the reputation to level 16 to get this, like it seems to be, it's like the only thing sitting in the game that would make sense, and I think that's what it is. But you have to run Dares of Eternity enough times, whether it's like 20 hours of playtime or whatever it is, to get the catalyst for Forerunner. And it's just time in that playlist.
Holy crap. That is unreal.
Now, remember, that is all free stuff.
I've maxed out every catalyst in the game.
That is the free stuff, remember. So they're making that free stuff really long.
I mean, I've maxed out every catalyst in the game, but I might want to skip that one. That is way too long to be playing.
Yeah, GK in chat just said it's 15 hours of Dares. Probably
so
on
you
average.
Have to play 15 hours, period.
It basically seems like, because you can't really, like, Legend doesn't seem to give you more reputation. Bounties, 70 runs, New Rad said, 68, whatever. I keep seeing those couple things pop up on Twitter, so it seems to be consistent. Yeah, it's just time in that playlist. So it's like, get your one in a day so you don't burn out too much, and just, like, try and do it every time you log in. Just do one and move on.
Oh my god, dude, that's crazy. Yeah, I think I might set a clock to doing like 3 a day at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Just log on for like 25 minutes and do 3 a day. Yep. Just do it that way. Cause like that's binging. It is not an option at that rate of play. That's way
no,
too much.
That is. Yeah. You could go through all of Grey's Anatomy at that point.
God, Paul Tassi loves these 6 player match rate activities. He loved the last one too. What was the hacking one?
Override? One? Was that right? Because he had expungement override. That's the thing, is like they wear...
They're fun the first 2 times, yeah.
I mean, at this point, they all wear thin. And unfortunately, depending on what you're doing, they've gotten better about seasons not having to do, say, like everything we do now. You kill enemies all over the place and you get some of this like currency. So you get it all over the place. So that's been better because like think in Override, you had to do Override to get some stuff until Expunge came out. So they're getting a little better at opening up the currencies for the seasons. But then, yeah, if you have to go do, they're still always going to push you back into like Strikes, Crucible, Gambit. And we've just done all that so many times. And it's like, and yeah, we're deep into it. But I would say on the seasonal stuff, when it is very specific, this at least has a variety of different enemies. Spin the wheel, but you are going to see the same area over and over and over. And yeah, you might have Hive one time. You might have Taken another. You might have Cabal for a boss. You might have Fallen Mines. You might have some variety. But yeah, fifth time, 10th time, 20th time, 70th time, when you finally get your catalyst, you're like, Jesus, I'm done. Then you never want to play it again.
That's crazy. Like, why? I get that you need playtime and that it's a free activity, so you got to get things for free players to grind for. But do you really want your players to hate the activity you made by the end? Because, dude, can you imagine hearing the joke the 70th time?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the just dread that you have? Like, any game when you play it too much is not fun. Unless you're Mark Medina playing Super Mario 64, like, any game you play is too much. Like, my goal is never to hate a game, and Destiny seems to try to make me hate it sometimes. So I think you're right. I think you got to set a day goal for yourself. 3 a day, I think that's got to be it.
Yeah, just space it
out.
Jesus,
dude.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah.
We did the dungeon together.
Indeed. That was actually a lot of fun to have actually played with you before in Destiny. So that was fun.
That was our first time.
I know.
That was our first time playing together.
First time somehow playing together. You've been on the podcast for how long now? So.
I know. Yeah. I played with Cog a few times, but I don't think we've done like an activity together. Yeah. Like, you know, like a major one at release. Cause we actually played, it was my first time doing the dungeon and it was your second time.
Yeah. I went through with New Rad and Black Wings and we finished it. And then, second time going through with you guys, I was trying to get some content and you're like, do you want to? And you and Teddy came in and Teddy had done it as well pretty quick. And then we got the catalysts. We went back, got the catalyst as well. We'll get to Galley in a minute, but yeah, it's like, so first time in the dungeon.
Rate me as a dungeon partner. How did I do?
You did great. I mean, you hold your own just fine.
I did it blind.
Yeah, you were blind.
You
were just sitting there. And basically, I don't think we had to explain anything to you. You were professional gamer of IGN wiki guide player. Cause we were just like, hey, what's he going to figure out? And you like, you skipped over one step with your
Titan. I skipped over one step.
The Titan Dash got you a far enough jump that you could actually like make it all the way over. Yeah. So that was actually hilarious. You can do the same thing with Lion Rampage.
I do that all the time.
Oh, I do too. That
Destiny
Dash
raids
is great.
And dungeons.
Yeah.
Like, no, like I accidentally skip things all the time. And like I'll be like doing it blind, and either I'll be doing it with a group that's never done it, or I'll do it with a group of people who have done it, and then they'll laugh at me like you and Teddy did, where they're just like, dude, that's not how you're supposed to do it, but I guess it worked. And I do that all the time in Dungeons and Raids. It's so weird. That was a lot of fun. I think that dungeon is really good. It's easy.
It's not like
all the puzzles are super easy to figure out.
Yeah, like when you yeah, I was kind of thinking back through, because like the different encounters we have, because you have Shattered Throne, you've got Pit of Heresy, Prophecy, and now Grasp of Avarice. And I was trying to think through, so Prophecy and Avarice have a Sparrow section, both do, and basically it's just survive and see if you can figure out the path. Boss fights, I still will say Pit of Heresy is probably the easiest boss fight, I think.
Pit of Heresy is the one where you got the swords, right?
Fire Knight.
You got to kill the knights.
The fire, yeah, the knight, the wizard, and the shrieker. And it's a big,
he's pretty
big
easy.
Boy in the middle. Yeah, because you can, it's a big enough arena. You've always got enough room to move around. You can space out killing the adds. And it's just like, get as much damage on them as you can. Get out of the arena. Cycle it through again. It's just a patience thing. And this one felt...
Prophecy's probably the hardest.
Prophecy,
right?
I would say, is probably the hardest for sure. Like that one, because I've done solo runs on that one. And that, I think, because especially the boss room, because you have the boss phase, you have shots coming from each direction and enemies that spawn, and you just don't have a lot of time or any place to hide because it's a triangle and they're going to hit you from some side quickly. So like I would say Pit of Heresy and Prophecy are, or Pit of Heresy and Grasp of Avarice are endurance fights, because I actually soloed it right before the game award started. I finished the solo finish.
Oh, really? You did you do the flawless?
Not flawless yet. I had a stupid death in the beginning, takes a little pressure off of it, and then like I actually did the Sparrow section flawless. I'll do it this time flawless, and then when I go and actually have everything flawless up to there, I'll probably screw it up. But yeah, I did the Sparrow flawless the first. I've got comfortable on that one. There's a Sparrow from season 7. If I don't have the Raid Sparrow, it's the only other one that does that. The Raid Sparrow would be the way to go if you have the Scourge one.
I have it.
Yeah, so if you have that one, but it was I
had to do Scourge 30.
It was just kind of process of anarchy. Yeah, it was process of elimination for me to figure out which path is optimal, basically, because like if you try and hit all of them in that first section, it's not good. There's one up top that you can kind of fly over, and I was trying to dodge the snipers. And it's also just getting to the point where you jump off and then respawn your Sparrow really quick and then keep going with a fresh one. If you can kind of get that in a couple points, it really actually helps out, because you like jump off, respawn your Sparrow through menu, and it's probably easier on mouse and keyboard, I would imagine. I don't remember on console what that button press is like. But yeah, then you can get a fresh Sparrow between encounters, and it really actually helps you, because you're going to take damage. And that's one of those things I will say, the Sparrow section on Prophecy is just about not falling off. Can you do it smoothly? Or technically you could walk the entire thing. This one annoys me. It's like, and now that I've done it, it's fine. But I was like, if I don't jump off and respawn the Sparrow, jump off and respawn the Sparrow, there's no real way to like not get hit completely. Like you can't, you can't just like, you know, be safe and take a route. You have to go fast enough. And there's one point, there's one place to go, and there are three enemies standing right in front of it. They're going to hit you some. And if anybody else kind of tags you and it blows up, you're done. So it's like, that's, even if I got through it, I don't like that it's a Sparrow, enemy shooting you. Sparrows are already fragile enough as it is. I don't love that part of it.
Yeah.
To me. Especially.
That's very frustrating as somebody who is trying to get the solo flawless.
Yeah, that's going to.
Not me, but for you.
It's going to ruin solo flawless runs for probably me, probably for other people. Like, that's going to be a crappy way to have a solo flawless run.
Yeah.
100%.
At least it's only one boss in, right?
I mean, yeah, you got the opening section, which I'm actually getting pretty quick through. You got to go through the ogre boss, and then it's that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the worst in the world, but they would have been better if they put it at the beginning, like the
Deepstone Crypt.
Deepstone Crypt.
Yeah. That would have been better.
Yeah, I liked it though. I will say, I mean, the amount of content that's actually in the game is not huge, right? There's a couple quests and two activities. One activity doesn't really have a whole lot of replayability. I mean, you can get the powerful drops, which is definitely good. And then one makes you replay it a ton, more than it has replayability for.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I also really hate that there's stuff you can't control. Like one is for killing all the different bosses on Legend or something like that.
Yeah, so like Legend, you just have, you have to play enough Legend to randomly get all the different encounters. You have to do like, you have to defuse mines, you have to do certain things, and you may get a group together for Legend, but then you may need to get another group together for Legend, or you may need to sit there and farm it for like 4 or 5 times. And
yeah,
Legend is going
to... There's no matchmaking, huh?
Nope.
Oh my God.
Yeah, nope.
Dude, do you want to do that together? You're gonna have to put together a group for this, right?
I mean, at some point, yeah. Oh, Lord Cognito is playing Matrix Awakens. I saw him over on Twitter. I'll be curious if that's anything.
Huge Matrix fan. Yeah, I don't know why they announced that today, because I've had that installed on my Xbox for a couple days.
Yeah, I downloaded it. I hadn't played it. Like, I don't know what it involves, or if it's a big deal, or if they're just trying to hype up the movie with something fun, which is probably what they're doing, which is fine for marketing. But
oh yeah, it's basically a trailer for the movie. I really don't like the randomization attached to triumphs, and the triumphs have good rewards. I think I have to get the one that's beat Legend every boss, because it's got an emote. I've got every emote in the game, so that's like a big one for me. I gotta get it. Yeah, there's a couple things I don't say no to. One is like anything that has gameplay consequences, so like guns or catalysts, I have to get all those done. And then the other one is emotes, just because I've somehow gotten really lucky and have them all. So now it's like a thing where I'm like, I'm gonna continue to have them all. So Yeah. Damn, dude. Really don't want to play that activity a million times. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, that's.
What would you rate the 30th anniversary pack though? Overall.
Like on an IGN number scale type thing?
Yeah, sure.
Oh. It's like, that's the other thing I've seen somebody ask, like, is it worth the $25? You can start with that question. Like, are you somebody who has ever bought an armor set in your life? If you have, then it is 100% worth it, because one armor set's like $15. So then, like, for $5, and I got it as part of the
pack.
So I got it part of cheaper, Witch Queen, yeah. So it's $20. So I'm like, $5 for a dungeon and all these new weapons, you got perks. I'm like, sure, of course that's worth it for me. Is $25 by itself worth it for, because the free stuff and Forerunner and Dares of Eternity, which includes most of the Halo weapons, that's all free. So then you have to realize, like, okay, so if I don't care about ornaments and I just want the dungeon, which also includes Gjallarhorn, which we'll get to here in just a second, is the dungeon and Gjallarhorn, which is now locked behind an expansion, even though things do that occasionally in raids, so that's going to be there. Like, you can't get 1,000 voices if you can't go play the raid Last Wish, so that's the same idea. It's tough. Like, to take it as a package, it's easily worth it, to me. Yeah. Because I never buy ornaments anyway, because they're too damn expensive, so the fact that you get, like, I'm going to get the Thorn armor, I already got the Streetwear set, and then we're going to get the Marathon stuff that you'll earn over time, there's going to be a decent chunk of it that we're going to get in there. But if I was just like, because it's hard to rate the 30th together. For a casual player, it's probably actually pretty good. If you bought the 30th anniversary, you're semi-casual, you're not going to burn out on it, you'll probably actually enjoy it, I would say, quite a bit. Because you're probably not going to burn out on like 60 runs for the Catalyst. You might do that one a day, like on your weekends. The dungeon is cool to experience, you know, a couple times. As you'll do it for Gjallarhorn, and you'll see. But if you start farming it or doing carries or things like that, there are certain encounters. Basically, like the Servitor encounter, launching the Servitors at the Shield. I've heard people describe that one as basically a huge, like, time slowdown, like decent pacing, hit the wall. Then go jump around, shoot this thing, shoot it up here. Okay, go over here. Where do I go? Fly over here. All of this, just open it, and then you're back in a chaotic boss fight. So it's just like, kind of a weird calm before the storm.
Yeah.
I would.
I try not to take the cost into consideration. This is actually something I learned from the editor of reviews at IGN. Part of his styles guide is don't take into account how much it costs, because it costing less or more money doesn't make it a better game.
It's true.
Right. When he said that, I was like, that's kind of a good point.
Yeah.
And there's free games like Apex Legends that I would say are extremely good, especially the fact that they're free. And then there's games that cost $60 like Nerf Legends that are 2 out of 10, you know? So I try not to, but you're right. It is absolutely worth the money. $25 or $20 is like, you get an absurd amount of content. I will say, I think the dungeon is perfect, because even if the dungeon itself isn't great, it has a very good reward, and it only makes you play it twice, essentially, if you don't want to play more than that.
Yeah.
And then the other one, the free part of the model, the Dares of Eternity, is like the exact opposite, where I feel like they did a really good job at the content, but they got the model totally wrong, man. The playing 70 times, the Catalyst.
I mean, that's just the Catalyst. Every run you're going to get
chests, though.
Every run you get a treasure key. But I mean, every run you get a treasure key and you get like a Halo weapon. Like, they're basically all in there. The swords, the battle rifle, the trace rifle.
But you also have to level, don't you?
No, you don't. Like, every time you finish one, you get a key. And you literally walk past Xur, open the chest, and you can do that every single time you do dares. The leveling, really? The leveling.
I saw some of the chests have requirements. Like
that is for all of the Marathon cosmetic armor, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
So that's what that's for. That stuff I think you earn, and I think that's if you have the 30th, you get that. The weapons and the loot, basically, like all the weapons you get from it, that's just the treasure keys that you get at the chest, like next to him. You can just sit there and turn in 3 or 4 chests when you're done with 3 or 4 runs. Doesn't even have to interact with Xur. So the weapons themselves are just that little chest at the end. And it's just how many treasure keys you get, which is how many runs you do in dares. So the loot is not as bad. It's just the catalyst is the long grind. That's the only long grind in there, really, for that one. If you,
it's such a valuable one, though. And I really want that one because I love the Halo pistol. It's like perfect magnum.
Yeah, I watched a video. Astacross did a kind of a review on it and basically said in Trials, it is going to be spicy.
Oh, now I have to do it. Shit. Oh, I hate that.
Because like it's hitting 80 or 90, like 50 meter shots. Just
it's a three tap.
It's sure. a three tap. Like 50 meter range because it's like stupidly long. It is special ammo and I think you start with 8, but that's
wow. It is like the Halo Magnum.
It's like
a scope and 50 meter range.
It's crazy range. Jeez. Like three taps from really far, and you start with 8 bullets, which is 2 kills. Pretty much if you can pull them off. So I mean, it's definitely like the skilled people in Trials are going to do some nasty stuff with that, I think for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So yeah, that,
sorry, I'm replying to the comments.
No, you're good. So yeah, Trials isn't on this week since we have Iron Banner. When I logged in, I was like, oh yes. God, yeah, Iron Banner's on. I don't even care at this point. But yeah, next week when Trials comes back, that catalyst is going to be potentially one to go for. Because you get like a frag grenade with it or something. You get like the Halo frag grenade.
Yes.
That's what it was.
I saw that. Yeah. I haven't figured that out yet, but what is it? How do you activate that? You get a kill with it or something and then you get to throw it?
I don't know. Or it consumes all of your ammo for the frag grenade. Something like that, I think. I don't remember, but it's like...
That's amazing. I saw that in the trailer and it blew my mind. I was like, what? That was a frag from Halo. Right. Like the way it bounced and everything.
Exactly.
I was just like, that's crazy. Yeah, well, if it were accurate to Halo, you'd be able to throw 4 of those and then also shoot.
Just spam I mean? All the grenades. Yeah, thank God it's not that grenades. Game. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's I've been on a Halo kick right now. So.
Oh, well, it sounds like you're living the fun life there.
Well, per Cog's recommendation, apparently Destiny isn't a game for me. Like, that's what he keeps telling me on our every time we talk about Trials. He goes, you shouldn't be playing Destiny, you should be playing Halo because Destiny isn't for competitive. And I'm like, I disagree. I agree that the competitive isn't good now, but that doesn't mean it can never be good. So
I actually saw Hoag, which I saw you guys trading a couple tweets. Hoag Law.
Yeah.
I saw him.
I know what tweet you're going to reference. He's talking about the gunplay.
Yeah. He was saying like the gunplay for like Destiny versus Halo, where it's like Destiny's. There's more going on. It's like, I know Halo is like the gunplay sandbox and now we have space magic and Destiny. So depends on what you're used to. And it's like, and I think right now people who have been waiting for like a Halo game are getting a very good Halo game. I just don't know how it's going to compare to like shooters and abilities and everything else that I've experienced when I go through and play, especially not having the, you know, nostalgia attachment and everything else. Like, you and I coming at Halo is going to be very different. So I will be very curious when I play the campaign. If I'm like, yeah, that was kind of like, that was a fine 7, 6, 5. Or if I'm just like, oh, that was amazing. And I don't know where it's going to be. But I was like, we won't go deep onto how that thing continues. But I was like, do you get more in a year? Do you get more in 2 years? Like, what is the cadence of like the campaign? Because they're not going to do... The seasons for PvP are not related to the campaign, right?
You're right. I would be very surprised if that were the case. But I think it's going to be sooner than you think. I think it might be. I think season 2 will launch with something because season 2 is taking 6 months to complete.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Let me ask you this. Would you like smaller nuggets like that? Or do you want a 2-year... Here's 2 more sections of the map that we've bolted on and we've expanded it, or there's now like a map and you go like, where do you want that franchise to go? Having experienced Destiny now for coming up on 7 years to 8 years, if they want this to be the 10-year model, which you've heard that before, how would you like to see it delivered being a Halo fanatic?
I would prefer the larger ones that take longer personally.
Yeah.
That's just because I have fond memories of that with Destiny, and like Destiny with Halo, I kind of like to take breaks to play other things, and I don't like it. I don't like the FOMO of Destiny sometimes, where it's like, well, you better play Destiny this week
because
it's got a limited time story that they're going to take out later, and I just really don't like that. So I would prefer larger ones, but I will say this. I did not reply to Hoag's tweet about Halo, but I completely disagree with it.
Well.
What he said about the gunplay, the moment-to-moment gameplay. what I think has happened is there's been this proliferation of shooters giving you powers. It like started with BioShock, right? You had like the left hand and the right hand, and now it's every game has got to have that hero shooter element where you have like a list of powers and buttons that are kind of
you'll have like three abilities in an ultimate or something, yeah, basically. Because when Plants vs. Yeah. Zombies did that, which is a hell of a fun game, by the way.
It is. It's so good. It's so much better than it should be.
Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare, yeah. All three of those are like, I never stick with them as long as I'd like, because after a while, but I was like, it's so much more fun than I expect. But it's like, yeah, you got all the different like three abilities for each, like, you know, plant style or the zombie style. And then all of a sudden you have like a super ultimate, or like the football guy is the charge, or the minigun. And so they all have those. So that makes sense. And you're just like,
I played that longer than I want to admit, the first one, especially.
First one for sure. Yeah. I played a lot of that game, like the waves and multiplayer. Yeah. Yep. The neighborhood, the most recent one, I didn't touch that much. I tried it like for a split second, but I knew when that one happened, I was like, man, they're just like really kind of pulling the Destiny 3 abilities in an ultimate, or what it was like the three abilities, at least. I was like, these are really carrying over, and it's different to, depending on the way, like Outriders, you had three abilities, you had eight different ones. You could definitely, and skill trees, like that was a deeper.
It was the same idea,
but yeah,
it's shooting and abilities. Correct. So you have powers and guns is like the model. And I think those games have a place, but I've never played a shooting and powers game that had shooting mechanics that was as good as the Halo franchise. And I think that's what sets it apart, is when you're playing Destiny, it is, I would say it's a close second in terms of like how good the gunplay feels, but there's nothing like Halo.
I would want Cog on here right now to ask him, because I mean,
I feel like he would agree with me, because it's so tight-y. Tight as a shooter.
But it is also one of those ridiculous. For like Destiny, like the shooting mechanics in Destiny just even psychologically feel almost, that's why it was like when you leave and come back and you shoot guns in Destiny, they still feel extremely good, like whenever you pick up a Destiny gun. So that's why I was like, those are probably the two that are the closest comparison. So if you are well-versed in Destiny, so I was like, for me, I am very curious my take on Halo's campaign, because it will be from a very different perspective than yours. I have a friend who can't even stand the multiplayer. He's just like, time to kill is too long. Just doesn't like, he really doesn't like the feel of it. He's been playing.
Yeah.
He plays more like Call of Duty.
Warzone, he's got bad taste. But get better friends, you know?
Well, I mean, but I was like, but even for me, it did feel weird. The auto rifle sucks. That's why I was like, I haven't done ranked for Halo, because I've just been working on content and stuff. But like Halo starting with a DMR or BR or whatever it is, I never know which one you start with in ranked.
BR.
The three-shot burst. That gun actually feels pretty good in Halo, because it's like couple three-shot bursts, feels pretty solid and tight. Feels kind of like a pulse rifle. Like they feel, but the auto rifle, when you start with that thing, you run around, it's like, just switch over to the pistol. I get that. Auto rifle truly is just trash garbage. Like,
no, and it's not.
Yes, it is.
You just have to know how to use it. In Halo, it's reversed. The auto rifle is a close range weapon, and the pistol is a long range. Even though that's the opposite.
Yeah, that's backwards of all things in the world. Yeah,
but that's always been a thing in Halo. And so if you're up close to somebody and they have like a BR or a commando or even the sidekick, you're going to beat them if your bead is on them the whole time, because it just destroys them at closer, even mid range. But you just have to kind of like learn the weapons. But that's the thing, is you don't really get a chance to do that in multiplayer. In campaign, you will, and I bet you'll realize like the gunplay is just so tight in Halo. It's ridiculous. But I will say this: number one, Halo in terms of gunplay. Number two, close second, Destiny. Number three, miles away. Like miles away. Like not even close, in my opinion. It's not a knock against Destiny. Like I just think they're different games. Destiny tends to focus on different stuff. And as Bungie themselves have admitted, their powers get in the way of gunplay a lot. Like, it's a problem, right? And also, it's not really a fair comparison, because Bungie makes, in Destiny, there's hundreds of weapons. And in Halo, there's like less than 20. So
they just really polish your 20. Yeah,
those less than 20 weapons are so damn polished. Like, you can just tell they spent... In Destiny, you'll pick up a weapon and you're like, wow, this feels weird. And then you throw it away and you pick up another one. And then you're like, oh, this one's good.
Yeah.
But like, not all guns are created equal in Destiny. Not at all. Like, some guns feel really bad.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love talking about this stuff, though.
No, it's interesting. I mean, to sit there and Newrad mentioned Titanfall, which is pretty damn good shooting. I'll give Titanfall some decent. Titanfall 2 was fun.
It's okay. I haven't played it in a long time. I would consider even that a far third. Like, that's to me, like, up there with Call of Duty. The TTK, by the way. I hate when people complain about the TTK in Halo. I don't understand the joy of being one shot in Call of Duty. I don't understand that. Like, in my opinion, if you're a better player and somebody comes up behind you and shoots you, you should be able to turn around and beat them if you're good enough. And Halo gives you that chance. Destiny gives you that chance a little bit. It's been a little bit tighter recently. The TTK is like half of what it is in Halo, at least. Probably more.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty, like, does it feel good to just get like tapped by?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, that range
weapon from behind.
I haven't played Call of Duty in ages.
Somebody who wasn't on your radar, like, that just seems so annoying.
Yeah, Call of Duty is faster than Destiny, and Call of Duty is really fast. So it's like Destiny's, you know, you're talking about like, you know, 0.6, 0.7, 0.8, 0.9, like less than a second time to kill. It's like there's not a lot of time to react, and then you go over to Halo, and I feel like I'm emptying a full clip of auto rifle over like 3 or 4 seconds just trying to kill a guy. It's like it just feels weird. It's different. It is totally a different ball game.
It is very different. It is very different.
And some people will say there's skill on both sides, depending on, like, you know, you hit your different shots and things like
there for sure is skill on both sides. Like, there are people who are good at Call of Duty, and like, kudos to them. It's just, to me, the TTK of Halo is what makes it great. And when people complain about that, I'm like, what? So it takes you longer to get a kill. Like, if you're as good at Halo as you are at Destiny, you could probably get more kills in Halo because the TTK is higher for you too. So, like, you can survive longer and fewer things. But in Destiny's defense, it's really not a 0.6 TTK. Like, well, no, it's a 0.6 TTK if you're perfect and nothing goes wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's like close, but it's like around a second though, and Halo feels 2 to 3 times that. Most like it's out there a little bit longer for sure than a second. It's probably closer to, I mean, outside of a sniper across the map, but like most thing, like, you know, your gunplay DMRs, you know, probably a little quicker. Auto rifles slow as hell. I don't know what the pistol is for shots, but it's longer for sure. It might be closer to like twice as long. It feels longer, but it's probably about twice as long in an average gunfight.
It's probably twice as long.
Yeah.
On most guns.
But yeah, I was like, overall, I would say for the dungeon, if I was going to rate it, like, and then when you go through replayability, it's interesting. It's like, to bring this all back around, I haven't played the campaign yet, so I can't talk about it. So I know that's like what's roaming around in your head.
Yeah.
So I'll have to get to that one when
play
I can.
It, man. I will give it a chance, go into it with an open mind, and I will say it does do for Halo what Breath of the Wild did for Zelda. Like, it feels like the game is the same, but in a totally new context, and just like roaming around the world and having that good of a shooting sandbox in an open world just feels magical. Like, it feels so, so good. I can't get it out of my head, but I was really happy with all the Bungie content we got this week, man.
I think right now I'm high on it too. I think I'm good on it now. I think talk to me in about January 20th, where I'm on the cusp of like, are we there yet?
Yeah.
That'll feel very different. And that's always hard for any season to get that far, because previously we've had, hey, why are you logging in to play this repetitive content? Well, you got to do, you know, go through this activity once or twice and then do this activity for the story. We don't have a story that ties into this one. It's just kind of a cool activity going after loot and then going after triumphs and other things. So there's less incentive to log in for, I guess, weekly players. So like, even for me, if like, I'll do this and then I'll play some other stuff. It's like, do you want to grind the hell out of the stuff that's there, or do you space it out with other things? How do you split your time? And I think now without the story, it's going to feel longer than a
very
season.
Thin.
Yeah, very thin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think if I had to rate it, I'd probably give it a 7. The dungeon is probably closer to an 8 because I'm going by the IGN scale. So 8 is great. I would say the dungeon's pretty great. Like, it's like you play it and at least on that first playthrough, it felt like great to me. It's like, oh, it's just fun.
No, yeah, the
just
fun. A good time. There was a lot. There were laughs. Especially as a blind run, like I watched you with all three of us. Like, there's laughter involved in there. There's some stupidity.
I kept getting killed by traps. Yeah, yep. That was hilarious. And then I kept, every time I thought a trap was going to kill me, I chose right.
And yeah, then and we're, and we're really sitting, Teddy and I are in our heads and we're not saying anything. We're like, damn it, he picked the right one.
He picked the right one again. Yeah, yep. I just kept getting lucky. But yeah, and then I would say, if the dungeon is an 8, then the 6 person activity is like a 6, which I would say is like okay. Like 7 is good, 6 is okay. And then that brings the average to like a 7 for the whole DLC. And that's just if we're looking at all the stuff that got added, because the equipment and stuff you can get is really good. The way they shook up the sandbox and brought some like old favorites back. 1,000-yard stare was one of my favorite snipers. I'm really glad that's back.
Yep.
Ice Luna is amazing.
That actually feels very crispy. Yeah, I got a decent roll, not a great one.
Yeah,
Ice Luna feels crispy as it ever did. I swear they transplanted that thing over really well. The Trace Rifle can get some cool perks on it. We have a legendary.
I haven't tried it yet.
We have a legendary Trace Rifle. I mean, it's a laser beam. So, I mean, the fact that we have a legendary one of those, we get one solar one for now, and then hopefully we'll get an arc and a void, and maybe, I don't know if we'll ever truly get a stasis legendary, because that's kind of Aggro Scepter probably in its wheelhouse. But, I mean, I expect us to get legendary Trace Rifles going forward, so you have varieties in there at least to use them.
I think you're right.
The Battle Rifle does feel...
as its own category.
Yeah, the Battle Rifle feels good. I have a pretty damn good roll on that one, actually.
BXR 55?
Yeah, the BXR.
The Halo reference, my friends.
Yeah, you said that was like a glitch or something?
It's kind of, I mean, some people say maybe it's not a glitch, but it was this thing where you could click B to melee somebody, and then you could click X immediately after to cancel the melee animation, and then R to fire the trigger. So you'd like melee them, and then
so it's like
immediately after follow up with a bullet, BXR, like that, and you could kill somebody in like, you know, a split second doing that.
So it's almost like the
Halo 2 days,
like almost like the hot swapping shotgun thing that people were using on bosses for a little bit. Just
exactly.
Reload canceling kind of. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Like, and you can just kill somebody super quick. But yeah, that's what the reference is, because everybody used the BR for that, because you could just melee X and then hit R and it would go tap, 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 and they'd be dead.
That makes sense.
Good days. Good times.
So yeah, it's like the weapons feel cool. There's some new perks because you got the Trace Rifle with Harmony. You're getting like 18% extra damage if you get a kill with something else and then switch over to your Tracer Rifle, just melting something for a little bit. The Golden Triangle, whatever, you can get like one damage stack. And then if you throw a grenade, you get like 50% damage or something more. So there's some interesting perks that they've thrown in. And then there's some weird ones. The sword, like distance that you can cover is kind of bonkers with one of the perks. Like your heavy and your light, like, the light goes 3 times as far and the heavy goes about 3 times as far. So when you do that attack, because you have to like be on a normal gun. And then if you switch and do that sword attack, so it's a quick switch and then slash, you cover so much ground. You just like zoom across wherever you're going. If your target's there, you're going to cover some ground to hit them. So there are some cool things they've done. It's nice to see a little experimentation. I did not expect like half of the stuff that we got. So, I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised, but is it going to tide me over until February? Probably not. I mean, we're going to get the Dawning probably in... I'm wondering when they're going to do the Dawning, because they always take that break.
It's got to be like next week or something, right?
Yeah, it feels like that's going to come, because we have Iron Banner. Probably not going to be then. We have a Trials Labs Freelance, which actually I didn't play Freelance. I'm mad at myself, but I was playing Ratchet and Clank, so it's fine.
So you know what it'll be? It will be not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Because that's their last chance to get it out the door before the holidays.
Yeah, basically. And they always dump that in our lap and just leave for the holidays because they take their long holiday break.
And they wouldn't give it to us next week because they haven't done a TWAB for it yet. So it can't be this Tuesday.
Yep.
So this Tuesday, nothing. Thursday, they talk about it in the TWAB. The Tuesday after, we get Dawning. That's my theory. I mean, that has to be it, right?
Sounds right. Yeah, I mean, the timing sounds right for sure. One more thing.
Gjallarhorn's cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bowles brought it up. Yep, Gjallarhorn. Yeah, I was about to say it. So the last thing, Gjallarhorn is back, and it's a thing. And now that we got the catalyst as well, I did not expect the perk on Gjallarhorn. Like, Gjallarhorn feels good, but now, because Nurad and Blackwings were testing it, one has a legendary rocket launcher. You have Gjallarhorn, and as soon as you fire, they get a 15-second proc for Wolfpack Rounds. And every time you fire, you reset the timer for your friends. So as long as you fire first, every other legendary rocket launcher near you, and it's like 10, 15 meters, they did some pretty far testing, everybody gets Wolfpack Rounds on a legendary. That's just intrinsic on the gun before you get the catalyst. I did not see that coming.
And the catalyst is 2 bullets.
Catalyst is 2, which is rare as well.
Amazing, dude. I got the catalyst done yesterday. It's amazing.
Dude. Yeah, and then it spawns more Wolfpack Rounds. If the Wolfpack Round gets a kill, then it spawns another Wolfpack Round, which is stronger and faster to go kill something else. So, like, your ad clearing with that thing is ridiculous, basically.
I think it'll become like, what's the exotic that you shoot a beam and it makes everything weaker? I always forget.
Divinity.
Divinity. I think it'll be like Divinity. All right, one person have Divinity, one person have Galahorn, and then everybody else have a rocket launcher.
Yeah, like, and just everybody unloads.
That's the play. Yeah, I think that's the play. It'll be like Divinity, where like you want one person on the team to have it, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was like, it's got a lot of potential, but I was like going through, I kept wondering, is it going to be powerful? Is it going to be powerful? Are they going to neuter it? Is the catalyst going to be the thing that makes it actually feel good? And then New Rad said it. It's been an exciting week, but we still have more to come. The Dawning will go live next week. So get ready.
So it's happening on Tuesday.
Get ready. And I think next week is
I read the TWAB. Why do I not remember that?
I don't remember it either.
I guess I probably skimmed by it because I probably saw Christmas stuff and went,
Yep.
Yeah, great. Yeah, okay, cool. So we're going to be doing Dawning next week. Actually, you know what? Good idea. Save your grinding of Dares of Eternity until next week when you have to grind for cookies anyway. Because I guarantee you it's going to be like kill taken and get melee kills and all that other stuff.
And you'll kill everything in there, so you can just sit there and fight the rotation of everything. So
it's perfect.
Yep.
That's the move. That's the move.
Yeah. And then if you grinded all of your 60 runs out between now and next Friday, then you'll be ready for trials with the Pistol of Crazy.
I want to die. I want to die. I don't want to do that at all. There's people who already have the catalyst done too, huh?
I think so, yeah. I know some have.
How do you get the catalyst? Is the 60 runs to get it or to get the progress?
I think it's the reputation is like rank 16, and there's like a little thing that you buy. Like you buy the key to get the weapon itself, which is like rank 4, and at rank 16 you buy another piece. And I think there's probably like a little baby puzzle or something. But if you get to 16, I don't imagine it's going to be very long for that. It might just like you might buy that and it might just be unlock the catalyst if you go talk to Banshee or something. Could be that simple. I don't imagine.
You want to grind it for me?
No. No.
You ain't sure? Yes? I'm hearing yes.
No.
Chat, drop a Y in the chat for yes.
That's a big no. We're going to drop some F's in chat. F's in chat for
he's
Travis.
He's going to grind my Dares of Eternity for me. Oh, look. Somebody already typed Y. Yes.
Already typed a whole bunch of RIPs, so we're out.
Alexa, shut up. What are you talking about? Oh my God. Why is Alexa talking to me right now? Are you guys hearing this?
Yeah, I can hear it. I don't know if
Alexa, shut up. God damn. I need to get Alexa out of this room.
It's dangerous.
Oh, we got a Y. That's one vote for me.
Ian. Yeah. Well, that ain't happening.
They all heard you say
it's
yes.
Not happening. So not even close to happening.
I'm sad.
But yeah, it was a nice injection. I think it's going to give, the free stuff is cool. So, I think the people who don't buy anything have some cool stuff to do right now. Log in a little bit, work through your grind a little bit. You got an exotic as a free player, which I did not expect. I really thought Galahorn was going to be tied to the dungeon, and I was right. And then all of a sudden, they get a free exotic as the pistol, and that thing's pretty powerful. So the fact that they gave free people a good amount of stuff may take some of the value away, some people might say, from the 30th, but overall as a package, I feel like it's not a bad one. I just feel like it's going to run dry for people who grind it too hard too fast. So yeah, my advice is, we've said, like, space it out. Do your 2 and 3. If you're going to do the Dawning, space it out over like the month. Do your grinds a little more then, but just space it out. There's not a lot at this point until you're going to be baking cookies, and then we're going to have an epilogue on like February 15th or something. Like 2 weeks before, we're going to get the epilogue, see what happens with Savathun, and then Witch Queen comes out, and you're going to review that one.
You heard it here first. Last word, listeners. From Ebontis. Don't grind it too hard too fast. That is valuable.
Outside of Destiny.
In and outside of Destiny. Don't grind it too hard or too fast, yeah. Guys. It works with Destiny. It works with salt and pepper shakers. It works with
other things
activities.
As well. Yeah, just...
Yeah, just
and with all of those things, you may with all of those things, if you do it too hard, too fast, you may experience some discomfort.
That's right.
This is what happens when the podcast is going on at 11:58 p.m. my time.
Yeah,
we have fallen off the rails.
We have indeed. We have indeed. Well, happy midnight, my friend. Let's try to end it before midnight for you.
Yeah. So 800 kills after you get the catalyst. That's a lot. So many kills. So then you get to level 68.
Honestly, I'll just be happy if you get it, though, right?
Oh, if you get it, yeah. Well, just all I'll say is go to the Shattered Throne Thrallway. They're never going to stop running at you. And then just, like, just put all your ammo finders and everything on and just keep shooting stuff. So.
Well, that's, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's about all I got. Yeah, I'm going to be grinding a little bit here and there and see when I jump into my backlog at this point. Between the Dawning and my backlog is what I've got between now and the week of February death that I just can't stand. It like just bugs me so much.
Brutal, man. It's getting closer every day. Like it's actually not that far away. I kept thinking of February as being like really far away. And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh dude, it's like in 6 weeks. Yeah. In like 6 weeks, it's going to be February. That's exciting. But now that I'm done with Halo Infinite, like I beat the game, I'm going to go and do a solo legendary playthrough, like on my own time. But now that I'm done with it, for now, I'm going to just get back into Destiny and like grind out everything there, bake my cookies when that event comes around. And then I actually love this time of year. All the games are out and I have a lot of free time because I don't have a family. So I just get to like chill and catch up on video games. It's a glorious, glorious time of the year. So,
yeah, we got I'm trying to think how many shows we've got left before. I will be out for the Christmas holidays because I'm going to see my wife's family.
Wow. Didn't even give me a Hanukkah break, man. I was here on Hanukkah night doing a show for you guys. How does that feel? How does that make you feel, Lee? which one? I actually don't know when Christmas is. What day is that?
25th?
25th of December.
It'll be a Saturday. But we'll leave actually that Thursday. So we will leave. There's not even a TWAB then anyway, so it won't matter. So won't miss much during that time, which is good. Next week, got an episode, kind of our last one. Talk about the Dawning and stuff like that. Get Cog back in here. Get his fresh impressions on Halo.
Yeah.
Get his impressions on all of the Destiny stuff. If he's actually picked it back up, he was on a Destiny hiatus for so long. I'm curious if he's jumped in or if he's still stuck in Halo.
He had to, right? He had to that day. Although, you know what? After Destiny and Halo came out, I saw him posting that he beat Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy hasn't played either of the new games.
I think he was working on Guardians for Defining Duke. I think he was trying to finish that because they were potentially either going to do a spoiler cast or something. He wanted to kind of wrap that one up. But I was like, I'm sure he jumped in by next week. Hopefully he will have. But yeah, we'll have to pick his brain and see where we're at. We've got a good guest we've been working on trying to get him on, and hopefully we've got that squared up. So. But yeah, you guys will find me streaming, making content, and if I do a variety of other things, like Halo, for example, that'll probably be on Twitch, and then YouTube will be a whole bunch of Destiny for now. What about you? You got one more review, and then you get your breather.
I get one more review for my breather, but before that, I would like to say to everyone in the chat here, thank you for watching the show late at night, and if you're here, you guys should each try to find one person in your life who does not listen to the show or watch Ebontis' videos, because he has been making some awesome content for the new 30th anniversary. And, you know, if you see a blueberry who looks like he needs some help, you should guide that guardian to Ebontis' content, because he's making a ton of videos about the new stuff. How to get Gjallarhorn, I think you did. How to get all of the what are they, chests?
Yeah, they're like the collectible messages in a bottle. You can get an ornament. I got all the
bottle.
Yeah, the Gjallarhorn, how to get the three chests with those. I got the Forerunner exotic quest tips and then Gjallarhorn. So yeah, I've put like five videos out in the last couple of days. Been busy.
Go ahead and share an Ebontis video. That should be your New Year's resolution, is to share some of his videos. As for me, yeah, I'm doing a review of a game where you ride around on dragons. I start that tomorrow morning, and I'm going to do it over the weekend. And then I've got, if you can read my review of Nerf Legends from last week. I also did a preview.
Don't do that. Just pour
read
one
the
out.
Review.
Pour one
don't
out
play
for
the game.
Yeah, go. Yeah, go. Open the website like six times. Give them some views. But yeah, don't play the game.
And then I also did a preview of a game called Black Tail. That's like an origin story of Baba Yaga, and it's a really creepy type game where you play a 16-year-old girl who's been accused of witchcraft, and it's really weird. So you can see my preview of that. IGN had an exclusive for that game this past week. And then you can follow me on Twitter at TyGuyTravis if you like bad jokes and references to Star Wars. And
Fast and Furious and Halo. Those are your three.
Fast and Furious and Halo. Those are the Holy Trinity. What more do you need? Plus Destiny. I never include Destiny, but I'm like obsessed with Destiny. Like I read the lore books as casual.
Just bathroom reading material. Just got the
It is
lore anthology in there.
Let me go and read through more of the, that's like my bedtime book, is I'll just read Destiny lore. And then you can read all my stuff on IGN.com. And I do a show on Sunday mornings called BitCast as well. If you want to hear me talk about video games,
Ains was in here at the start. So he jumped in.
Ains hopped in. I asked him to, actually. I was like, nice. I'm going to give us some views. So glad he stopped by. Cool. That's it. Good show, man. We missed Cog, but we managed.
Yep. Managed to get about 90 minutes out of all this craziness. Well, thank you guys very much. As Travis said, if you guys enjoy the show, if you're listening to it on iTunes or Spotify or anything like that, leave us reviews, give likes there. However, you can kind of basically upvote us in any way possible. That kind of helps the audio listens. If you guys are watching on video, obviously do the right things. Like, subscribe, follow Travis, myself, Cognito. He's not here, but he's definitely here in spirit. And then as for me, just, find a video, drop a like, sub to the channel. You can find, join the channel as a member if you want my emotes when we're doing these chats live and everything else. So, yeah, episode 176, the two-man show. Once again, we hold down a pretty good show, I'd say.
I think so, yeah.
I think we still do a pretty good one.
It's a little Caucasian, but, we make it work.
Yeah, Cognito rounds the show out a little better because he gives a lot more diversity to the situation.
Yeah,
the two, the Texan and the Californian over here. So the East Coast man brings a little more to it. So
he does.
You, Cog. I know you'll never listen to this part of it, but we miss you. We'll get you on here next week. And to all of you guys out there, thank you guys very much. And for this episode, it has been
The Last Word.